sheer and utter spiritual unity that completely does away with. Gareth read part of the scripture this morning that I'm going to be reading in a moment, that he breaks down every single wall and every single barrier, yeah? We don't always experience it. That's the trouble. That's part of the issue. We don't often get into worship to the point, either privately as individuals or corporately as a group, where we meet with that incredible, intense presence of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You're going to have to excuse me because I'm fired up this morning with this message and with our worship and God's presence this morning. God's presence should always do something in us that makes us different to when we began worshiping. However small or large. Yes, we meet with trials. It doesn't mean, unity doesn't mean that everything just works out perfectly well. The world tries that, doesn't it? The world tries to make laws and rules, well-meaning though they might be, that only actually bring hatred. And evidence, a well-meaning thing can evidence in hatred, and we see a lot of things. Is it called woke or something like that? Try and get everybody together to think the same things, to think the same words, to use the same language. I think many months ago, someone did a, maybe Sarah, did when we were online, did an object lesson of unity. And she put a whole load of Skittles, sweet Skittles, is that right? Different coloured sweets, like Smarties almost. And she put them round in a plate, and someone did this, I think it was Sarah. Oh, it was Gareth, okay, Gareth, credit where credit's due. And put water in it, and the colours, the different colours in the Skittles bleed into the water and make a phenomenal pattern, a beautiful pattern in actual fact. Much better than if they were all yellow or all red or all blue or whatever the colours are, purple. However beautiful that colour is, just a plate full of purple is just a plate full of purple, but a plate full of every single colour in the bag is so much more beautiful. And acting as one. No one colour fighting above another. There are places God wants to take us to this morning, this very morning of unity that we will probably never, we've never experienced yet. Does anyone say amen? Is anyone looking for this out of God? Because the world that we live in cannot solve its problems. It cannot, because it only has laws and rules and regulations and exclusion and inclusion and all those things, all those words. We come up with another phrase every month to bring into the soup of what people call diversity, when it's unity we're looking for. And what better place to look for unity than the one who is already unified, totally, three in one. Perfect unity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Absolutely impeccable, holy, righteous, and we worship him as Christians every week. Now, if you're not a Christian and you don't understand all this, I'm hoping that you'll pick up little bits here and along the way. But this is a message largely for Christians. And we've lived through a season in life that has kind of fractured many people with church activity and church life. It's fractured it. And people don't know how to respond and come back with all different sorts of ideas in their heads and life. But when really, at the heart of it is our worship to God. And I'm being very simplistic here. I'm just going to go and get a drink, if you don't mind. And at the heart of our unity is extremely simple. And sadly, as Christians, history tells us that we're not being very good at it either. Even though God is brilliant at it, we've missed something. And we're big enough to put our hands up. I'm big enough to put my hands up and say, we got it wrong a lot of the time. We just wanted God for what we could get out of it. Not necessarily how we could see a community and lives and communities transformed. Let me just look I've got a couple of questions here that you might want to ask yourself as we go through. I'm not going to answer them now, but we might answer them as we go through. What is unity? Is it conformity that we all walk around with the same? Now, some of the African suits I see in this church, it wouldn't be bad if we did all walk around with some of them shirts on because they're so beautiful. But you get bored if they're all the same, wouldn't you? Same thing. No, you wouldn't. Would we get bored if we were all the same, all walking around, clones of each other? Would we get bored? Perhaps you wouldn't. Maybe I'm different. What is it then we're looking for in unity? What is it that unites us? Is there any hope for unity in the world that we live in? Is there any hope for unity? Is it to do with politics? Is it doctrine? Is it ideology? Is it culture? Is it the football team you support? Oh, you're not very responsive today, are you? Does what we believe, is what we're believing today, uniting us? Is it uniting us? Well, we hope it does. And maybe we need a bit more of God in our lives to make the completion of unity. I'm going to read a section of Ephesians, which is part of our series, chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. And this is how God sees things, and we can expand this. And hopefully, in just a few minutes, I'm going to get through this. And hopefully, I've also be a catalyst, because I can't answer all the questions today. I don't have time. But be a catalyst for your pursuit of God in unity, because it's there. It exists. It's powerful, and it's in the heavenlies. And we've sampled a tiny fragment of it this morning in our worship. When we worship God, is anybody that worried about our color? Is anybody that worried about our class? Is anybody that worried about where we're from and what we do and what profession we've got? Is anybody worried in the slightest about that? Because you know what? I'm not. When I'm in that intensity of the presence of God, none of that even touches me. And I just want to give everybody a big hug. Anyway, this is what it says. It says, and I'm reading from the Passion Translation again because I find it expands it so much. It's beautiful. It says, so don't forget that you were not born as Jews. He's writing to the Ephesian church, who largely are not Jews, although there were some Jews amongst them. So don't forget that you were not born as Jews and were uncircumcised. Circumcision itself is just a work of man's hands. You had none of the Jewish covenants and laws. You were foreigners to Israel's incredible heritage. You were without promise, without the covenants and without promise, and the prophetic promises of the Messiah, the promised hope and without God. How many of us would put ourselves in that class? I am. I was without all those things. Anybody else here join me? We were without all those things. There's a time when we were without. The only thing that distinguishes some people is what they do to the body and how they dress and how they are. And then he says, yet look at you now. Look around at everyone. Just look and take a look and see. Please do. It's rewarding. I tell you. Some of you folks have got too English. You've got too English. Just look around and smile. Look at you now. Everything is new. Has God done a new thing in your life? Has God done a new thing in your life? You're going to have to do better than this, guys. So I'll just keep asking you till you answer me. The promised hope and without God. Look at you now. Everything is new. He says in Isaiah, behold, I make all things new. And even so, I have already begun. So it's active, it's proactive, it's not something that just happened 2,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago that we go, oh, that's nice, that sounds good. That's happening right now amongst us if you believe in the power of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And without God, and yet look at you now, everything is new. Although you were once distant, and that's me, okay, I was distant and far away from God, Now you've been brought delightfully close. Oh, listen to that. Isn't that lovely? Delightfully close to him through the sacred blood of Jesus. This is such good news. It's got nothing to do with what we can do to each other or say to each other. This is totally reliant on the work of Jesus Christ. And the cheering on of Father and Holy Spirit. Although you were once distant and far away from God, now you've been brought delightfully close to him through the sacred blood of Jesus. I can hardly say the words, you know, the sacred blood of Jesus. You've actually been united to Christ. Isn't that worth a cheer? Amen. We've been united not just to each other with the same ideology, with the same, but we've been united to Christ. Oh, does anyone want to jump and up and down and run around the room? Because this is fantastic news. We've been united to Christ. Our reconciling peace is Jesus. Peace is an entity in itself. Or unity as an entity in itself is only something to be aspired to. But Jesus, our Jesus, he is unity. I'm using all my throat again. I'll have a sore throat after this. He is unity. He was bodily unity, and now he is spiritually unity. He demonstrates it so powerfully in his place in the Trinity. Total and utter unity. What an example. What a powerful, unprecedented, unbeatable example. Our reconciling peace is Jesus. He has made Jew and non-Jew one in Christ. That is everybody. Okay? That is everyone on the planet forever. Jew and non-Jew. That is everyone, isn't it? Is that everyone? Or is that just a few? Is that just Indian people? Is that just African people? Is that just Chinese people? Is that just white people? There's less of a no there. It's everyone. Everyone. Being united, our reconciling peace, every one of us, no excuses today, is reconciled by Jesus. He says, as our dying, he has made Jew and non-Jew one in Christ. By dying as our sacrifice, he has broken down every wall of prejudice that separated us. So which walls has he broken down? Every single wall. Can you think of a wall that he hasn't broken down? No. So why do we have so much disunity? Pardon? The what?
Preach.
Why do we have, why do we have so much disunity? Because we're not in this place that we've been in this morning, some of us maybe, most of us hopefully, of incredible unity with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In fellowship with him. What a wonderful word. Old-fashioned it might be, but fellowship, what a wonderful word it is. To be in fellowship with God means life-changing lifestyles. Means unity. It might mean a challenge to us. Unity just doesn't happen to walk out of this room and go, oh yeah, I'm in union with it. You might feel great. You might feel, oh, I love everybody. Let me hug everybody. Let me kiss everybody. Let me just... Oh, isn't life wonderful? Because the minute you do that, something will hit you hard and challenge you. It does me anyway. Am I the only one? No, we get challenged. This shows you how much we need to cleave to Jesus. How much we need to walk with him. Because unity is only found in him. And when we're close to him, and the more often we get close to him, the more often we walk with him as Christian believers, the more these principles take our lives and less the principles of the world that we live in, who only seek the counterfeit version. They seek honestly. Sorry, I don't mean to run that down. They seek honestly, but without God, they don't have a hope, really. And we've done hope already. We did a hope 2 weeks ago. And hope, by the way, and unity are very, very, very close, and I'll demonstrate in a moment. By dying as our sacrifice, he's broken down every wall of prejudice that has separated us and has now made us equal through our union with Christ. He's not made us equal by any laws, though maybe laws have to be made, you know. But this unity is reconciled in the body of Christ, in his body. Now, that's his physical body that he died on the cross and was disfigured and marred and maimed and took on the sin of the world. Your sin and my sin. But also the sense in which the body of Christ is the church. It's us here today and everyone believing, meeting together in our time frame and out of our time frame. That's the body of Christ. And it says that ethnic hatred, do you know what? I just love this. I could cry, to be honest with you. I could weep with this. He said, ethnic hatred has been dissolved by the crucifixion of his precious body on the cross. Could we get a load of this? Could we get a bunch of this? This has got to drive our lives, guys. This has to drive our lives because, I'll tell you what, it will be challenged. Tomorrow morning, this afternoon even, if this may be challenged. The enemy would love you to distort this because he's been distorting unity for a long time, or the idea of unity. Ethnic hatred has been dissolved by the crucifixion of his precious body on the cross. The legal code that stood condemning every one of us that aren't Jews, and Jews, actually. The legal code that stood condemning every one of us has now been repealed by his command. He said, go free. Reject and rebuke every ethnic hatred that is within you and me. Everything that holds on to something, an ideology or something that doesn't point you to Jesus and puts the whole matter into your own hands. Entirely your own hands and only your own hands. That doesn't mean we shouldn't do stuff, by the way. That doesn't mean we shouldn't be proactive. In fact, this gospel of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, is everything but inactive. It's everything about being proactive because it's got a dynamic in us. And when we believe God and believe God for unity, it's a dynamic that works out into us. And we'll read about that in just a minute. I've got to finish, I guess. Okay, not only is it what I've been talking about, diversity and ethnic stuff, it says, I'm going ahead of myself. His triune essence, it says, has made peace between us by starting over and forming one new race of humanity, Jews and non-Jews fused together in himself. Oh, man, I mean, where do we start? His triune essence has made peace between us by starting all over, forming one new race of humanity, Jews and non-Jews, fused together in himself. Do you know that if we're in Christ today, we are fused together in Christ? Do you want to say that to someone? We are fused together in Christ. We are fused together. You kind of realize that as we say it, there's some ambiguity in it, isn't there? You know, I'm challenged by saying that. I believe it. But I'm challenged because I'm thinking my behavior doesn't always show that. My thoughts don't always say that. And this is taking me to a new level of understanding what God's heart really is. In Ephesians, what we're reading is Paul having had a phenomenal revelation of Christ in you, and he's trying to get it across. God's heart for us is Christ in us. Not just better lives, not just improving lives, though that will come anyway. But he wants to get into our spirit, Christ in us, and the place of where that comes from in terms of devotion. And that Christ in us does all the things that we need. Two have now become one, and we live restored to God and reconciled in the body of Christ. Now, this is really talking about Jews and Gentiles, of which we're all either one of them, aren't we? The enemy, what the enemy's done is actually broken it down to even finite details so that now anybody is offended by anything. True? I'm not saying they shouldn't be offended. I'm just saying, you know, that everybody is offended by something today. We're kind of walking around waiting to be offended sometimes. Well, I want to get me a piece of this offensiveness because it gets me some attention. But the world can't handle it. The world we live in doesn't know how to handle this unity. It doesn't. But Christ does. Through his crucifixion, hatred died. Now, according to the word of God, all that comes as opposed, that comes apart from what God can do, comes under this heading of hatred. And we see a lot of hatred, don't we, in people's attempt to bring things together. I'm just going to read this through now because I've run out of time. For the Messiah has come to preach this sweet message of peace to you, the ones who were distant, and to those who are near. Now, we were the distant ones, weren't we? We were the distant ones. And now, because we are united to Christ, we both have equal and direct access. So unity brings us equal and direct access in the realm of the Holy Spirit to come before the Father. So you are not foreigners or guests, but rather you are children of the city of the Holy Ones. I'd love to get you to say that to each other. We are children of the city of the Holy Ones. It's a bit of a mouthful, but it's good. You're rising like the perfectly fitted stones of the temple, and your lives have been built up together upon a foundation laid by the apostles and prophets. And best of all, you are connected to the head cornerstone of the building, the anointed one, Jesus Christ himself. Whoa! Thank you for that, amen. Whoa! Ha, what a way of summing this up. He's got more to say in the rest of the chapter, but this, like, head cornerstone of the building, the anointed one, Jesus Christ himself, not a messenger. This entire building is under construction, is continually growing under his supervision as it rises up as the holy temple of the Lord himself. This means that God is transforming each one of you into the Holy of Holies, his dwelling place, through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. Is this dynamite? This is powerful. Nothing short of powerful. And 2 weeks ago, I spoke about the hope being like a strong cord or chain and an indestructible anchor that was fastened to the mercy seat of God in the Holy of Holies. This is where God wants to take us in our everyday walk with him and in our church walk with him, right into the Holy of Holies. This is not a banned place. This Holy of Holies, which is, sorry for you that don't know, I'm very aware there'll be people who don't know what I'm talking about, really. But this Holy of Holies is a place in the tabernacle where Jews used to meet, where no one else could go but the high priest once a year. I think it was once a year. Scholars will challenge me on that. So important was it that no one else went in there. They would tie a rope around his foot so if he passed out or died and he hadn't come out for a while, they'd pull him out so no one could go in and get him. And in that place, the Holy of Holies was the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant. I haven't got time to go, but read about it. It's phenomenal. And the mercy seat was sprinkled with blood of a sacrifice. Now, Paul talked about, and he's trying to get it across to us, there's a deeper place that we can go that is so powerful and so wonderful that it brings hope and it brings unity. And they're connected because it's connected right into the heart of the presence of Almighty God. I'm out of time. I've got lots of things I could say, and I might say them in a mini message on Thursday on this. But when things seem like they've fallen apart, or appear to have fallen apart, when it seems that no one carries our viewpoint, and sometimes they don't, we need intimacy in order to drop our skewed view of life, and intimacy will unite us, individually and together. Every time we meet for prayer, every time we worship together, or even socialize together, if around the throne, it should produce heart unity, however diverse that is. We're looking for heart. God looks at the heart, not at the things that we do so much as the heart. So I'm going to close there. I'm sorry, I'd love to say more, but I can't. I'd like us to sing this song, if we may. And it's a unifying song. Thank you, children who are here, for being so good. I really appreciate that. I'd love us to sing this song together and make it a response, a declaration, that you mean business with God, you know, because he means business with you. He says, draw close to me, and I will draw close to you. The ball's in our hands. If you want this transformational unity in your heart, just sing this song together, because this will put us in a great place. Amen.